Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go. Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Yisrael with another edition of the Yehuda Project. I'm going to play a song for you, as I usually do, and give our callers a chance to call in, and I hope you like the song. Here we go.
But in my heart I pray.
to do.
All right, I hope everyone loved the song. That was Donny Hathaway, Giving Up. I am going to get my co-host on the line, Brother Adonai. One moment, please. Brother Adonai, are you there?
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonai. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you today?
Fair to middling.
As long as you're still here, that's all that matters, okay? If you got breath in your body, you're moving.
Yeah.
So, tell me something that's going on with you this week. I received a couple of emails from you today, and I mean the other day, and I got some from Sister Zaniah. Pretty serious stuff going on, but I thought we might be able to do the show, a continuation of the show last week, along with some current events. So, do you have any current events you want to share with anybody?
No, I just sent you those emails for you to take a look at them to let you know that them guys are still doing what they're doing, man. And it's more information on the same stuff.
Oh, it is? Okay. Yeah, I will definitely take a look at them. A couple of them are pretty long, so, you know, we really couldn't do a whole lot on the line. I also want to make an announcement that we will have our directors meeting tonight. We have a new director that we have that has accepted an appointment with the Nation of Yehuda. They're going to be the director of our youth and media department. So we have that done, and we would like to introduce them to everyone that's on our staff. That we're getting ready to get our children involved. So this is going to be a pretty positive thing here.
That's great. That's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
We need them
it
involved.
So, absolutely. So, you know, I just wanted to kind of share some things with you. Did you find anything else out about Karen Washington and the things that happened to her? Anyone else ever said anything else about it?
Oh, I haven't heard anything at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But,
I'm
still recommending that we try to reach out to those folks, you understand, to get them to uplift their program.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I mean, as much as we can, you know, but our main objective is to educate our people so that we can be on a fast track when the time comes out of here so we can go back home. So, you know, even with that, we try to make sure that we include that in everything that we do so that people know why we're here, you know, and that we're here for that specific reason.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, it's a good thing that we would get involved because I think that helps to uplift the program, to let everybody know that, you know, that we'll help where we can help, you understand, you know, so that everybody will be understand that our program is not a selfish program. We want to help where we can.
Right. I agree with you, Ken. I wanted to kind of touch base because, you know, I don't really usually do Bible scriptures on the show because it can be pretty controversial, but I didn't get a chance to really do what I wanted to do last week when the people called in, and I wanted to share some things with our audience this week so that they know, you know, that first, we're not racist. Our job is not to cause division in any kind of way, but that we are a chosen people set apart from the rest. And the Most High was pretty specific about, you know, the different things that we were and were not supposed to do. And I kind of put some things together this week for our audience that's out there, because I know we archive these, people archive these shows. We have at least 2,000 people, 15 to 2,000 people archiving our show every week. So they are listening. You know, they may not be able to be on the show on the actual day of the show, but they do pull it down, they download, they listen. You know, and so, you know, I wanted to kind of go over some scriptures that, that will substantiate why we say what we say when we talk about, you know, mingling and marrying people of the other nations. So I wanted to start with Exodus 33:16, and this is very, this particular scripture is very important because it talks about we are to be separate. And it says, "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separate, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." So he meant for us to be separated from everybody else.
That is correct.
You know, and the people, you know, it's not, we don't believe in black, white coming together or whatever, whatever. It's just this was a mandate for us that we were separate from all the people on the earth. And when you go to Leviticus chapter 19:19, he's telling, he said, "Ye shall keep my statutes." Now listen to what he says. He said, "Thou shalt not let thy cattle breed with a diverse kind." He said, "Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed, neither shall a garment mingle with linen and wool come upon thee." So he doesn't like things that are mixed.
That is correct. There's another verse in the scriptures that talks about how the animals, everybody's supposed to be of their own kind, not you know.
That's in Genesis, yes, sir.
That is correct. You understand? You know, so you're not supposed to go and be with another just because they're human. Doesn't mean that we're supposed to be with them. You understand? We're supposed
Absolutely.
After we're supposed to be of our own kind, like-minded, not necessarily like-minded, because, see, some of us have a different perspective, and that will be proven because of the Almighty. The Almighty will show favor if he's in agreement to what you're doing, then he will show you favor. You understand? But the law itself specifically talks about us being connected to our own kind. That's animal, beetles, and everything else.
That's right. And I also ran upon a scripture in Leviticus chapter 20. It says, "But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which separated you from other people. You shall therefore put a difference between clean and unclean and between unclean, foul, and clean. And you shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fire or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated you as I have separated from you as unclean. And you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy. Severed you from other people that you should be mine." Now, he has made us different from everyone else, that we separate ourselves and not mingle with other people. He doesn't even want the beast to be mingled or the seed to be mingled, and he doesn't want us to be mingled. So this little show is going to be a little bit different because there are some things that I have to correct, because I made another mistake last week because I thought it was okay to marry within the tribe. But when I started studying this, you can't do that either. So let me show you in Numbers chapter 23, verse 9, it says, "For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations." So he does not expect that we have to separate ourselves. Deuteronomy 32, verse 8 and 9, it says, "When the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. He said, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance." So all through these scriptures, all down through these scriptures, there are scripture after scripture that says that we are to be separated from all the other nations. You agree?
I agree wholeheartedly. And the reason why we can't marry out of our tribe because our inheritance will go into if my children marry into Ephraim, you understand, then my inheritance will go into the inheritance. And your inheritance, let's say land is the inheritance, is supposed to stay within your tribe, your tribal areas. But if I allow my child to or my children to marry into other nations, then they become greater than us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know what? That is so true, what you just said. That was the mistake that I made. So I do stand corrected. The Israelite tribes, the descendants of Jacob, were expressly told not to marry outside of their race, their own, because we were to stay within our own people. And the scripture that proves that is because when I really started researching it, all of the 12 sons were given a different inheritance before Yaakov died. He spoke a blessing over each one of his sons, and it was different. Each one had a different inheritance. So when you have these Hebrew Israelite men saying, well, I can marry a daughter from Ephraim and still make an Israelite baby, or I can marry an Asian woman, and because my seed is Israelite, they're still an Israelite baby. That's not so, because even within ourselves, among the tribes, it says this thing with the daughters of the Lapahot. He said this thing, this is the thing which the Lord doeth commandeth concerning the daughters of the Lapahot, where they were going to lose their inheritance because there was no male around. And they went before Moses and petitioned, and the Most High told them that they could keep their inheritance and that they should not lose their inheritance because they didn't have any men in their families. He says, regard concerning the daughters of the Lapahot, saying, let them marry whom they think best. Now listen to what he said. Only within the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry.
That is absolutely
correct. So they
correct.
Weren't even allowed to go outside of their tribe either. He says, so shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe. For every
that
one
is
of the
correct.
Children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. So the Most High said, you can't even marry outside of your tribe. So for the Israelite men to say they can do away with the daughters of Zion, they are sadly mistaken.
Well, you know, one thing is that you're going to pay. The Almighty does not let you get away. If you are adamant in your thinking, and if you think that that is correct, then you are sadly mistaken, like you said, and the Almighty is not going to let you get away with it. See, we're in a time now where when the Almighty finished doing all what he's going to do, it's going to be righteousness throughout the whole land, throughout the whole earth. You understand?
Yes,
and we can't have no nonsense, no stupidity. You understand? And if you think that you're going to get away with it, man, you're sadly mistaken.
That's the truth. And verse 7 says, and every daughter who possesses an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be the wife unto one of the families of the tribes of her father, that the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his father. He said, neither shall the inheritance remove from one tribe to another, but every one of the tribes of the children of Israel shall keep to himself his own inheritance, even as the Lord commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. So they weren't allowed to go outside of their tribe and marry anybody else or marry someone from the tribe of Reuben or marry someone else from another tribe. You had to stay within your tribe to keep those inheritance there.
That is correct. Your inheritance got to stay within your tribe, or otherwise the other tribes will become greater than you, greater than the original tribe, the tribe that you disclaim. You understand? So there was an equal portion given to everybody, every tribe, every individual family. You understand? So you can't have one guy having all the inheritance. You understand?
Right.
That you know what that wrought? that's corruption. Hallelujah.
That's true. That's true. So, I mean, you know, a lot of things, you know, I wanted to bring this out last week, but we kind of ran out of time last week, and I didn't get a chance to really go over it. But we have to make sure that we study the Word, because the Word is very clear, and he put certain boundaries in place that we are not supposed to go against and we're not supposed to try to come up against. So this kills off all of those YouTube clips and all of the brothers that's all on YouTube talking about the daughters of Zion, they don't need us, and they can marry us. That's not what these scriptures say. You can go on and on. Even as I began to study last week, I read the book of Nehemiah, and Nehemiah got them. He forbid them from marrying women of the other nations, and he fought them and beat them and pulled their hair out because they did this. So this was a common practice for the men of Israel to do this. A lot of them wanted to do that. I read in the book of Hosea in the chapter, Nehemiah was chapter 13, verses 1 through 30. And then in the book of Hosea, chapter 5, it talked about how Israel, Ephraim, and Judah begot strange children because they married women of other nations and mixed the seed. And then these children came out. You know, so it really got into detail with the purpose, you know, of not having the seed mixed, you know, so that they wouldn't give birth to the strange children. And then, you know, Ezra dealt with it. It was so crucial in the book of Ezra in chapter 2. It was talking about the priesthood because they had mixed and mingled so much and they had married women of other nations. They had to prove their genealogy.
That is so correct. I was going to say that specifically. That's where we at now. Everybody is calling themselves who they want to call themselves, but we don't know because we've been mixed in so tough, you understand, that we'll never find out. You understand? It'll take an act of the Almighty. And that's where we at today. You understand? You know, one thing that I'm finding out is that see, you know, the thing is that the Almighty is true, man, and true to his word. Anything that he say, that you can bet your life on it. These things was a decree that the Almighty ordained in the earth that you never supposed to go beyond. And here we want to spin his decree in any direction that we think that is supposed to go. You understand? And that's what we need to stop doing. We need to stop talking about how I think it's going to be this way and I think it's going to be that way. If we're not sure, we need to go to the scripture, and it'll tell us in numerous scriptures like you just mentioned. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Even in Ezra chapter 10, which blew me away, it dealt with the trespass of the Israelites who married foreign wives, and it was forbidden. And they made an oath for the men to get rid of the wives and their children. And they said even in that chapter, some of the men didn't want to get rid of their wives, so they left and went back to the nations where, I guess, where they came out of Babylon. They left and went back with the wherever the nation was that their wives and children were, but they were not allowed to bring those women and children into the nation of into the tribes of the children of Israel. Because they did it, and it's not because they did it and they didn't know what they were doing. These men knew the decree, and they did it willingly. So this is where the Hebrew Israelite men are today that are on the street corners preaching this stuff. They know the word, and they're doing this deliberately. And the Most High is going to deal with them from their standpoint.
Ooh-wee. Trust me, man. You don't want to get punished by the Almighty. You see what his punishment does. Remember, we in captivity because of our trespass. I mean, because we trespassed against the Almighty. You understand? And you see all the punishment that we getting? Whew, you don't want to be on that side.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. And I felt like that was necessary to bring out in the beginning of this show because, you know, we don't want to seem like we're racist, and we don't want anybody to say, well, we don't believe that, because God is about love, and God doesn't care who you love, and God doesn't care who you're with. You know, is the premise that they are bringing this under, and that's not true.
That is correct. That's not true. You understand? You're going to get paid. And we can figure that, oh, the God, he loves us. And see, that brings about a point. Those little indiscretions that we think that we do that the Almighty ain't looking at. That's not
mm-hmm.
true. All of those things, man, is your character. You understand?
That's right.
You understand? Your character is in question when you do those little indiscretions and you know that they're not right. You understand? But Almighty is not looking at that. You understand? He's talking about the big thing. That's not true.
Yep. That's true. You know, so I wanted to make that clear, you know, for those who are on this line under the sound of our voice that are listening, you know, we want you to invite you, especially those people who are newly coming out of the walks that they're in and into the knowledge of who they are. You know, if you're already married to someone of the other nations, we are not saying divorce them. We are not even saying leave them, because the Most High dictates into consideration that we are in captivity, we are in this land, and we have done things without the knowledge. And I believe he will make allowances for those, because he's righteous and he is just. We are dealing with the brothers who know the scriptures and the ones who are out there talking about the daughters of Zion, that we are disposable, you know, and that they can get rid of us and just create a whole new nation. That is not what the scripture says. That is not how it reads, you know, and that is what we want to say. So I wanted to give out some verses and scriptures so you guys can go back and study the word, and I want you to go to Exodus chapter 33, verse 16, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 24 through 26, Numbers 23 and 9, Deuteronomy 32, 8 through 9, 1 Kings chapter 8, 51 through 53, and Nehemiah chapter 13, 1 through 30, Hosea chapter 5, verses 7, and then we can go down to Numbers 36, which deals with marrying within the tribe. You have to stay within your tribe when it comes to the inheritance and the birthright. It's Numbers 36, 6 through 10, when he's talking to the daughters of Zelophehad. And then I wanted to bring in the reason why we are dealt with from a different standpoint than most people, than most of the nations, because Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 and 7, he says, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor chose you because you were more in numbers than any people, for ye were the fewest of all the people." So we've been set apart, and we're a special people unto him above all of the people of the earth. We are in a very special category.
That is correct. You are absolutely right. You know, and don't think that you're going to get away and slip under the wire. There is no wire.
That's true. That is so very true. So let me go to this scripture here, Deuteronomy 14 and 2. He says, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord has chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." So we have already been set apart, and we were set apart to be his representatives in the earth, and we know we fell from our position because of our disobedience. But it is because of that particular class that he has given us, we have a different agenda. He has given us a different call, and we have to be obedient to what he has called us to do. Now, if anyone has a question, a comment, or concern, please push 1. We do want to hear what you have to say in resolve to this situation. But, I mean, you know, I wanted to touch on this issue because of the remarks that we got last week from the people who were calling in, especially the guy who called in right after we read the scriptures, and he said, "I don't believe the Most High cares about who you marry. You can marry who you want to marry. That's the problem. You all are teaching this false doctrine to the people, and you're putting all this stuff out there, and that's why we can't come together as a nation." And we have to go back to the fact that people have to study the scriptures. It's simple as that. It's just that simple, and it should give you a sense of responsibility to want to be able to be labeled as who we are as a nation.
You must tell them whether they hear or forbear. You know, that's the only thing that I say. When you forbear, substantiate it and you know, substantiate your claim. Because if you got something that refutes what the Almighty says, please bring it. Or you read somewhere in the scriptures where it's your claim is it can be substantiated. I need to know, because if I'm doing things wrong, I want to know.
Right. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. But you know, they have to come out of that, you know, that rough exterior with the black women, you know, and really began to, you know, start to embrace and begin to heal each other, because we all, you know, need healing. You know, we do.
You know, you know about the, you know, the black young lady who had low self-esteem and high insecurity, you understand? We need to have an agency, or we need to have some women in place that they can talk to those women, you understand, and let them know that they are still needed and wanted, you understand, and at that particular moment. See, I had low self-esteem and high insecurity when I was younger, you understand. I was very shy. I didn't talk much, and somebody could hurt my feelings by just saying a couple of words, but I outgrew that. And I want you to know that you will outgrow it. You know, by a few little accomplishments that will happen in your life, you understand, to let you know that you are just as necessary as anybody else. And so those things have to be.
I can't believe you didn't talk. I just refuse to believe you didn't talk.
Huh?
You used to be scared to talk. I said I can't believe you were scared to talk.
Oh, yeah. I was very, very shy, you understand. But I outgrew that, you understand. I know that if you don't say nothing, you don't get nothing.
That's true.
I had to, you know, but see, you know, and I stumbled. I still stumble over my words today, you understand. I have a lot of things on my mind to say, and I try to say them all at one time.
Mm-hmm. I understand. And with our young people, we really have to pay attention to them. We have to be there to support them, to give them all of the support, the emotional and the physical and the psychological support that we can, because they're all beautiful. You know, and don't let anyone tell you that you're not beautiful. You are beautiful, and you mean something. The Most High would not have allowed you to be born if he doesn't have a plan for your life. And we have to get them to understand that, you know. And I think that the biggest thing that we can do to get them to understand that is to show them the falseness of the society in which we live, so that they can come into the reality of who they are and understand that Yah is our source. And that you can still enjoy this life, but you can enjoy it with your eyes wide open, eyes wide shut.
That is correct. You understand? And see, there's a lot of parents that should, when you have children, you understand, you got to know the nature of each and every one of your children. You understand? Some of them have that low self-esteem from birth. You need to be able to recognize that, and maybe they need special attention from you. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to give them special attention, but that does not mean you take away from the other children's attention. You understand? So you got to kind of, you know, a parent's job is not no easy thing. You understand? One child even if you have one child, you still got to be able to understand who that child is and his or her nature and how they react and everything. You understand? We got to pay more attention to our children, and a lot of these things could be alleviated.
Yes, they will be. I'm sure they will be. And you're absolutely right. That's why it is our job at the Nation of Yehuda is to build, build, build. Every time we build an organization and we get a director, we're putting things in place so that not only our organization will cater to the children that are in our immediate surroundings, but that we build organizations that will far stretch out toward all over the world and that we can contact and be and connect with these organizations and children all over the world, because we can build our own children's self-esteem by letting them know they're beautiful. And it has nothing to do with television, and it has nothing to do with the rap business, and it has nothing to do with the TV shows that they have put on there to basically tear your self-esteem down, because most of the shows that they promote today are negative when it comes to us. And we've got to teach our children and the parents to divorce themselves from the television, because the television is what's beginning to shape their personalities, is shaping their identities, and they want to shape them in a negative way. So we've got to do everything in our power to cut the television down and limit it so that we don't use it as parents, as babysitters for our children, because it's doing more damage than it is good.
That is correct. Well, you know, it's one thing to say that we need to stop our children and get our children from watching TV. And there's another thing to put something in its place. You understand? When I came up, when I was growing up, you understand, they had the Manhattanville Center that you can go there after school. They taught you, they had classrooms where you can do your homework and et cetera. They had a gym, they had a swimming pool, they had shops, and they had counselors in them places that could counsel you. So if one family was having problems, man, they could work through those problems with those counselors and et cetera. We don't have that. We can tell them kids, we can tell the parents not to give them TV, but what they got? They ain't got nothing. Parents got to go to work in the morning. You understand? They ain't got no whole lot of time that they can spend on no children. Even though that's their children. You understand? So I'm not putting it all on the parents. I'm saying that we as a nation need to be putting things in place. You understand? And teaching our children and bringing them up in the way that they shall go, and they'll never depart from it. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. I agree with you 100%. But even in that, though, you know, that's why we need to help the people. That's why we are inviting everyone that is under the sound of our voice to connect with the Nation of Yehuda all over the country so that we can start doing things. Because we can create our own reality show. We can create our own things. These are the things that we can do. People believe that we're forced to look at these things because they create it. We have our own cameras. We can create our own reality shows that are positive. You have these grown women on these shows catfighting with each other and calling people names and negative stuff. We've got to do something to come up against it, and the only way to be evil is with good. So there's a lot of things that we can do as a nation in building up our kids' self-esteem by showing them the positive side of it, because, I mean, you know, it's just ridiculous that the only people that they see that has wealth or has anything worth anything, TV acting stupid.
Yeah. You know, one thing I wanted to say here, we're a nation, Hebrew-Israelite nation. And in the Hebrew-Israelite nation, they had Levites, they had council of elders, they had judges. These things need to be put in place. It would be up to the council of judges and the Levites to set up things for our children, you understand, because our children is our life. The way we extend our life, your name will be extended in the earth, is that your child stays alive.
It's so sad. It's just sad to see our black women carrying on the way they do. It's sad. I mean, you know, I mean, I know that everybody wants to make money, and I know that everybody wants a lifestyle, and I know that most of them want to be on television. For some reason, people want to be on television. And if you could see some of the things that are going on where these women are on television stomping each other in the face, and punching each other in the head. And I mean, they have it on television. And then you turn around, and this very same thing happened a couple of weeks ago in real time here in Cincinnati, where a bunch of girls, all they did was reenact what they see on hip-hop of Atlanta or hip-hop on New York, and they fought with this girl and punched her in the face. And guess what? Now they're in jail for criminal charges. So they are displaying criminal behavior on television, and our children are imitating this stuff, and then they're going to jail, and these people are going home because it's a script. So we have to do something, and the parents have to do something, because this is not the image that we want our children doing. And they locked up all of the six girls that were involved in the fight, and they're in jail now.
Yeah.
Because
they're going to do time and going home.
That's right. They're going to jail. You going to jail, and they're going home with a paycheck, because they are paying them to do this, to tear our nation down.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a sad, sad thing. See, this captivity is really, really took a hold of us and got us and got us really out of everything. You understand? Anything the real problem here is that we tend to think that this is real life world. You understand?
Yeah.
This world, this here is going to be destroyed, and we rush into the future to get back to the past, because the past in the early years of our existence, you understand, we didn't have all this stuff going on.
Oh, my goodness.
Huh?
You are so very right.
We didn't have all this stuff going on. We didn't have cancer, you understand, in every part of our body. You understand what I'm saying?
That's
we can catch cancer in our big toe, and it'll affect our whole body. Come on, man. You understand? We got to realize that. Sneaker, I'm sorry.
No, I said you're absolutely right. That is the truth.
You understand? You know. See, this is set up. You understand? Psalms 83 talks about how, you understand, they gonna fix it so that we never be known as a nation again. And guess what?
Right.
We don't know us as a nation. We don't even know ourselves as a nation again. We fight amongst ourselves more than they do now, keeping us in captivity. We keeping ourselves in captivity with the stupid stuff that we're doing. You understand?
And guess what? And then they
the Almighty said it through the mouth of Zephaniah, you understand, that he was going to turn our captivity right before our eyes. And guess what? We ain't being chained, whipped, beaten, maimed, and murdered as much as we were. You understand? Of course, now they still grab us up and put us in the penitentiary, and they got certain things set up. You understand? But we can do something about our condition today. We need to stop doing what we're doing, man. We need to snap out of it.
It's terrible.
I'm telling you.
It is really terrible. Then they had the black man on television eating up all the attention that he's getting from these women. And he's basically, there's nobody setting an example. I mean, there's nothing positive on that television that sets an example for our children anymore. There's nothing there. Everything is dark. The music is dark. The behaviors of our people on television is dark. It's just everything has just gone to the dark side, and we've got to do something. The only way you beat the enemy, the only way you beat evil is we're good, and we've got to come together and do something, because it's not acceptable. And then they have us plastered all over the news. Well, this one shot this one, and this one did. What do you expect if this is what you show them? And then they show us like that on television. See, it's nothing but propaganda to give us a bad name. And not only Hebrew Israelites, but all of the black people, because these people are unconscious. Some of them are not us, and they're on television, and they show the bling bling and all the money they get for fighting on TV and for calling each other all kind of profanity. This is what it's about.
Yeah, let me tell you, this guy from Texas, I think he's from Texas, I'm not sure. Anyway, he's having a fight with the federal government. He's a white guy having fights with the federal government about his cattle grazing on federal land. He got on TV
I saw that.
Yeah, and he got on TV, and he made now the thing is about him, his cattle, and him not wanting to pay taxes. He owed $1 million or so in taxes. Now it's all about him, but guess what he's talking about? He talk about black folks this and Negro that and this and that and the other. Not only did he mention all of that stuff to waylay and confuse everybody, you understand? They had a black brother that come on, oh, I don't feel like he was racist. You understand? Come on, man. you know, what really, you know, they got us bamboozled and hoodwinked.
Oh,
you understand? Oh. I mean, this black brother had the audacity to say, just like that guy on nationwide television admitting that he's homosexual. They got us bamboozled and hoodwinked. They got the sackcloth over our head. You understand? And they got holes in where the eyes are, and that's all we could see. The rest of it, man, we don't know nothing. We so stupid. I mean, I'm telling you, man, it's really upsetting to hear somebody talking about, you understand, what he say. Oh, I don't think that he was racist. You understand?
But you know what? He's got to say that to keep his job. And unfortunately, the way the system is, either you roll with it or they roll you out. I mean, it's just simple as that. And they have taken down a lot of our news reporters and interviewers and different things like that because they didn't go along with the program. And like you said, it is real. The captivity is real. And there's a system in place that if you don't play along with what they say you do, you don't work. And if you don't work, you don't eat. And if you don't eat, you don't survive. And these people have learned how to say just enough without letting it seem like that they're going against the powers that be. And unfortunately, in this captivity, they have the power to do that. They can shut you down if they feel like you're not playing the game. And that's just simple as that. And they, like you said, what he did, had what one had nothing to do with the other. But
that
he
is
did
quick.
What he felt like he needed to do to draw the attention away from the fact that he's doing what he's doing.
You understand? I'm telling you, you understand? So it just baffles me that this is not just a one-time affair, a one-time thing that had happened, or these things are just not just popping up all of a sudden. You understand? It seems to me that we should be sick and tired of what's going on and want to do something to save our own soul. That's what I think.
We have learned down through the years to go along, to get along. Like Martin Luther King told, I think he told one of the guys, I don't know if it was Cindy Portier or I forgot who it was, but he said, he told him, I think I've made a mistake. I think I've ran my people into a burning house. Because if you think about it, when we were segregated, it was more family. When we were segregated, it was more black pride. When we were segregated, and I'm not saying segregation was the way they deemed segregation to be was right, because it wasn't. We had black businesses. When we were segregated, we patronized each other, and we didn't have a choice because we could only get products from each other. And then because what he wanted to do was relax the laws of segregation so that we could be treated as human beings and not like we were animals. But what happened was commerce saw an opportunity to take away all of our ability to be able to produce anything for ourselves as a community. So now we don't. Not only do we not have any empowerment, economic empowerment, we don't even have a black identity because they're using television to shape that. All we have left now is to be like them. And when you look at what you see on television, this is what they portray. I cannot think of one black program, not one. We did have the Huxtables at one point. I can't think of one black program that is on television that is positive. Either we're on television making them laugh with the paint with the white lips painted on our face, or we're on television acting like animals. Not one black program is positive enough to say, hey, This is for our people to be positive. You know why? Because they control it, and they are the ones that are in charge to try to shape our identity and who we are, and it's not acceptable. It's just not acceptable.
That is correct. I agree with that wholeheartedly. You understand? I think that at some point, you understand, those that have the willing heart to try to establish us, you understand, as a nation, we need to try to start doing something to set up things so that when you say, I'm not going to allow you to watch any more TV. And see, the thing is that we brought them kids up on TV. They didn't got to be 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old with TV in their mind. And so for you to sit back and say, I'm not going to let them watch TV and don't put nothing in its place, I think we're doing a disservice to ourselves. You understand? That's why that grandmother just here recently, you understand, was stabbed to death by her granddaughter because she spoke on the TV. She said that they was taking over the television. You understand what I'm saying? Probably wouldn't allow her to. They got their games and they got their shows that they watched, and they wasn't given the opportunity for nobody else. That's because they growed up with the TV. And that little boy, I think it was a little boy, stabbed her grandmother to death 58 times. 58 times she stabbed her grandmother, you understand, until she died. You understand what I'm saying? So you can't just see, we have to start from the birth of teaching your children in the way that they should go, and they will never depart from it. They know what side their butter is on their bread. You understand? They know that their parents, you understand, will tear that coyote up when they wrong. You understand? Because you brought them up not sparing the rod and trying to show them the right direction. And a lot of times, man, you don't have to beat your child if you bring them up from birth in the right way. You don't have to do that. You understand? But sometimes, man, you might want to give them a little slap on the backside, you understand, when they're wrong. You understand? But you can't stop them at 17 and tell them, no more TV. What they going to do? They don't have nothing else than to go out there and steal and rob and break into stores and get these flash mobs, you understand, to run in there, break the window, and everybody run in there and grab something. Come on, man.
Any bad habit, guess what, brother Donny, any bad habit can be changed. I just refuse to believe it. I know a lot of people who don't even allow their children to watch television. If you got 17 and 18-year-olds, that's when we need to start encouraging reading. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You can read, and then you can be selective as to what you read because, I mean, if you think about our society and you think about our children from the ages of 16, I'll say 15, to 35, and that be in between that age group, 90% of them, I'll take that back. I'm going to give them some grace. 85% of them over their eyes, and they just don't see. They're angry at their parents because their parents can't buy them the things that they see on television. They don't have the capacity to be able to buy the things that they want, which leads to crime. And when you really realize it at the end of the day, we don't have any more leaders that are standing up saying, hey, we don't have to do this. Let's go do something else. We don't have to present ourselves like this. Let's do something else. The leaders have even conformed to the powers that be so that they can get out in the limelight. So as a nation, we have to come up with the solution so that our children have an opportunity to experience something other than what they see on television. I mean, I was watching one particular show. I was at someone's house, and they had this show on their television, and these were basketball wives that they were sending them to Paris. And, you know, now I've been overseas, and I've had the opportunity to travel to different countries, and I've experienced that. But they glamorized this trip up for these girls, and they was over there fighting on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fighting each other, calling each other all kind of crazy names. And I'm like, well, where's the interpreter at? Because I know in Paris they speak French. So they're glamorizing all of this stuff, but they still keeping the character the same. And we've got to do something. People, ladies and gentlemen, this is not how we act. This is not you. We should be ashamed. We should be ashamed of those people that are on television carrying on the way they are. It's a disgrace to our nation that we have come this far to the point where they're acting like this. We don't act like this. But like you said, everybody's not going to get it. At that point, I realized, you know, here these basketball wives are, their husbands make millions and millions of dollars. So now they're bringing the wives to the screen. And then you got the first ladies of the churches now got their own reality TV shows. And you got the pastors with their own reality TV show. So everybody's got this I want to be a star syndrome, and they're moving to the TV screen, and they're bringing their whole life to the TV screen with them, and all kind of stuff is being portrayed. It's nothing positive, not anything positive.
Yeah,
this is my life, it's real, and this is what we do, and I ain't had no one. Keep it at home, because everybody don't want to see it, and everybody don't live like that. These women were on television talking about the one girl couldn't have no kids, and the other girl was talking. It just was mess.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that we know, you understand, that we got a lot of problems that we could solve ourselves. If we start working on those problems that we can solve, you understand, everything else will fall into play. You understand? And I refuse to believe that they'll stop us from trying to do something to save our children. I don't think that the Almighty will allow that. You understand? If we're doing something to try to do something for our children, you understand, the Almighty will show us favor. And that's what we need. We need to gain the favor of the Almighty. You understand? And, see, here's my whole life consensus based on I believe in doing and stop talking. I know that we're trying to bring people's bring it to people's consciousness. You understand that they need to get involved, but we need to stop talking about stuff. We need to start doing things. You understand, putting things in place. We don't do that, man. We just beating up our gums. Hallelujah.
I agree with you 100%. I agree with you. I'm in agreement 100%, but we have to bring it to the attention of the people that are listening to this show, because we have over 30,000 listeners on this show. And like I said, a lot of people aren't there. They're not live on the show, but they archive it. We send this out to most of our college kids, our college students, you know, our everyone that we have access to. We send a clip of our show out every week. So we have to start putting something positive into the minds of our family members, our children, our mothers, because, you know, these behaviors are criminal. It's assault. When you grab somebody and you begin to beat on them and wail on them and fight on them because they said something you don't like, that is a criminal offense. That's assault. And like you say, even though you see them on TV and they break them up and all that, if you do that here, you're going to jail and they going home with a paycheck. So they're paying them to form your opinion, and especially young people, to think that's okay, and that's not okay. It's not okay because you don't see white women on there doing that. It's black women doing it.
Yeah, one thing that we're up against now, you understand, is that they making money off of us. You understand? They put that narcotics on the street. And now on TV right now, you can see them folks, they got certain programs on TV where the police is running inside our houses and carting us off to the penitentiary, and all of this stuff is on TV, but they making money off it. You understand? So they put everything in place, man, to destroy us as a nation of folks. The only way, see, right, like I said earlier, you understand, that the Almighty said that he was going to turn our captivity right before our eyes. Now, right before our eyes, the Almighty, we're not being chained, whipped, beaten, maimed, and murdered as we were when we first got here. And now the ball is in our court. We can do something about our condition. You understand? We just got to set up this think tank, community outreach, and get these people to the table, and let's figure this out. And when we walk away from the table, everybody got a job to do. You understand? To put things in place, because our children is our life. If we don't do nothing about our children, man, we can kiss our butt goodbye.
And that's definitely a call that we will give out to those, all of those adults, those supposed to be adults, that are a part of these reality television shows, especially in Atlanta. You know, we challenge you to make an appearance, to come and sit down with us. And I doubt it they'll come, because you know what they're doing. They're making money off of what they're doing. They really don't care one way or the other what the kids think. They don't really care one way or the other how they present themselves and how we look as a people as a whole. They really don't care. But if you do, we challenge you to come and sit down with us, because we've got to come up with a better way to represent ourselves. And I believe that these are skits or scripts that they give them that they have to follow, because I refuse to believe that women carry on like that. I believe that they are paying them, because it ain't nothing but a glorified Jerry Springer show. That's all it is. You remember Jerry Springer?
Yep, I remember.
He used to be the mayor of Cincinnati. And Jerry Springer show, he used to have that kind of stuff on, and very few people watched it. And now that's all it is. All these shows, these love and hip-hop and all this, is a glorified Jerry Springer show. And they on there fighting and calling each other names, and everybody is gravitating to it. And then they wonder why our children are in the state that they're in right now. And the men are not standing up and being men, and they wonder why our young men are not doing what they need to do. We have to lead by example. It's not going to work any other way. So when your kids start acting out, and this is the stuff that they see on television, and this is the stuff you expose them to, don't be surprised, because these people should be in jail for the things that they're doing.
Yep, Murray Furbish. Murray Furbish is one of them. Had one of them shows too, didn't he?
You talking about Maury Povich?
Yeah.
I think Maury Povich's show was Who Is Baby Daddy stuff. That's what he glorified his show at. He started a show about who finding out who the baby daddy was, and watched the girls parade 15 guys up on the stage. All of it is to make us look bad. All of it is controlled by the fake Jews. All of this is out here to make us look bad as a nation.
That is correct. You understand? And they make money. They make money.
That's right.
They may give you a few dollars, you understand, for coming on the show and telling all your business. You understand? But they making big money. You understand? Get awards for. They get awards for their show. You understand?
Yeah.
You just got dissed.
And our kids watch it, and they think it's okay. And like I said, they start to imitate it. Our young women watch it, and they think it's okay, and they start to imitate it. And then they end up going to jail, and those other people go home with a paycheck, because they've done what they have been called to do. They have corrupted our children's minds. And I cannot believe that you don't – I don't believe they don't care. And then some of them even go to church. And it's like, really, and then you look at it, and then you got the pastors on here that's glorifying what they've done in terms of taking the people's money and buying the things that they have. So everybody is coming to this. I was looking at society. I said our whole society in America is based off of the pride of life and the lust of the eye. Everything we have is based off of that. Our identities and our success is based off of what we have. Our self-esteem and our reassurance is based off of the way we look. I mean, everything has the wrong meaning attached to it. And it's like, you know, what happens when that goes? What happens? Are you still the same person? Your self-worth should have nothing to do with what you have. Your self-esteem should have nothing to do with the way you look, because all of us are beautiful and all of us contribute something to the world. All of us contribute something. Our mind, the Most High made us individual thinkers, and we have the ability to create something and bring something to the table. And that's what the think tank is about. We want the individual thinkers. that are willing to bring come to the table to put their thoughts together so we can do something to save our children. And we, and not only our children, our young adults. And not only our young adults, our old adults. We have to do something to save our people, because if we continue to allow them to control the way we think and to control the way we act, we're not going to be around too much longer, because their goal is to get rid of us.
You're absolutely right. We have the ability and the responsibility to do something about our children, to do something about our condition. If not, we contribute into our own demise.
You know,
it's really a sad
everything
thing.
Everything on television about murder or sex, that's all it's about. If you really look at it, it's about murder or sex. And then they tell you to practice safe sex. And then they tell you don't kill. So the enemy is doing what he needs to do to mix the message up just enough where you don't pay no attention to it and you just do whatever you want to do. We got to cut this mess, cut the TV off, cut the radio off, and learn how to spend quality time with each other. Well, how many people actually sit at the table and eat dinner together? How many of you all actually have quiet time with your children and just sit down after they come home from school and say, well, how was your day? What did you do today at school? Without everybody going to their respective corners with their iPhones or their cell phones or the games that they play and not talk to each other. We don't even talk to each other anymore.
That is correct. You understand? That is correct. You know, that's you hit on something there, because when I was coming up, I was from a big family. You understand? It was nine of us at the table when we sat down to eat. You understand? You had to eat. There were so many people sitting at that table eating. You understand that you had to sit sideways where you can just have the arm that you're going to use to eat with, and the rest of your body is hanging on the outside of the table. You know what I mean? My father was a stickler for eating at the table. Everybody needs to eat at the table, you understand? And, you know, certain times, man, you know, if you didn't want to eat what they had cooked, then you go to bed hungry. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, it was a family. And today, right now today, I love my parents. They're not here anymore. They were good, man. You know, we didn't have nothing. My mother had arts and craft. She was an arts and craft major, and she had us sit at the table at certain days of the week, man, and we would make clay animals. We would do paintings, you understand, and she showed us how to do a lot of stuff. The neighborhood kids used to come to my house, and we didn't have but a little apartment. The neighborhood kids come to my house because my mother had always set up stuff for us to do things with. We don't have none of that no more, man. I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying? We need to get back to those things. We rush into the future to get back to the past, whether we know it or not.
That's true. That is so very true. And it's because we have allowed other people to shape out the way we interact with each other and entertain each other. You know, and we have got to cut off all of the technology, because technology is killing us. It's blinding us. It's killing us. And it's separating us from each other. We've got to cut the technology out, because the technology is set there to distract you. And everybody's going to the newest technology. And like you said, running toward the future to get back to the past, because the past is where we learned how to interact with each other. When you didn't have a whole lot, you learned how to sit down and have quiet time. You know, you learn how, like you said, arts and crafts. I love to go in Hobby Lobby. It's so much stuff in there. Yeah, one day I'm just going to take time and just go through the whole store and just get the things that I want to do, because though I love making Zeets, and I make them when I have free time and I want to just relax my mind. I just sit down and I make Zeets all day long, because it relaxes me. But we've got to start teaching our children how to do those things that are quiet and cut off some of that other stuff, because it is really killing us. It really is. You know, most of your young girls can't cook. You know, so we have a lot of work to do within the nation. And it's not just, you know, we're Israelites and we trying to get out of America. No, we're Israelites and we're building a nation, and we need our people to go back to the simple things, the conversations, the dinner at the table, sitting at the table together eating dinner, you know, spending time with your children when they come home from school, talking to your children. Some of our children are getting bullied, and we don't even know it. And by the time we find out, it's too late. Or by the time we find out that something's happened to them or they done got beat up or something, we need to start talking to them, sitting down and being available to, you know, when I was raising my children, I became a foster parent. And it was one of the best things that I had endeavored in my life, because it taught me some things. You know, we had to take parenting classes. Every so many weeks it was mandatory that we took parenting classes. And those classes were so enlightening, because it gave you an opportunity to know how to handle conflict resolution. It taught you how to talk to your children. It taught you how to be attentive. It taught all of those things, gave me an opportunity to learn how to be a better parent. And I believe they need to make that mandatory. I've always said it. For those mothers that are receiving welfare checks and receiving food stamps, parenting classes should be mandatory. They should make it mandatory if they really want to see a change in our nation. But see, only we have the ability to change our people. And sometimes, you know, we have those that will listen. And that is why we're putting all of these programs together as a nation, because we want our people to be able to come to us and say, you know, show us what we're doing wrong, or if we need some help in doing this. Because if not, you're just putting a Band-Aid over a bullet wound. I mean, you can't do it, because it's not going to work. We've got to have programs set in place that we can come to. And even though we're not in your city, we are developing phone numbers that you'll be able to call and get advice, phone numbers where you can call and get help. I wanted to also make an announcement before I forget, is that we're going to have, out of the day of the week, I think she chose Thursday night, Sister Mahalaya from Israel is going to be reporting the news from Israel. So we're going to have another day of the week where she's actually going to come on to our radio, on to Blog Talk Radio show on Thursday night, and she will be reporting the news directly from Israel. So that is one of the things we're doing. We have a new director of the Department of Youth and Media Department. She's going to be putting some things together for us to be able to expand ourselves over the country. We need also a male director of youth and media in different cities and different departments. We have a website. Please go on our website and look. There are positions available, and all of our positions are virtual. All of our positions are distant positions over the Internet. You do not have to be in our city. We come together, and we meet every week, because we're trying to do what we need to do that's positive, because we have approached our government. We have asked to sit down with President Barack Obama. We have the first black African-American, well, the first black president in office in the history of America, and we've made every allowance to sit down and talk to him concerning the state of our nation. Just the little people, the people who voted him in the office, we've seen him all over the television at the Apollo. He's been all over on different television shows and all over the place. You know, but when we approach, they don't have time to talk to us. And the last time I seen him at the Black Caucus meeting or something, he told us to get up off our butts and do something. And that's what we're doing. We're putting this nation together so that we can be positive and we can bring a positive flair to our children and to our people as a whole. We have got to stop allowing ourselves to be portrayed the way we're being portrayed. And I know those people are not going to quit their jobs. They're not going to quit love and hip-hop. They're not going to stop doing what they're doing, but we don't have to watch it. You there, Brother Donnie? I think he might have put me on mute.
No, I'm great. I'm back on. I had put on mute for a second. One thing that I'm finding out, man, is that we know that we're going back home at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Until then, we need to do something about ourselves right here and right now. You understand what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? The Almighty gonna set things up and put things in place, you understand, for our exit. But we have to do something right here and right now to try to save our children. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I know everybody's talking about, you understand, everybody, you know, it's only going to be a remnant and this and that and the other. We don't know who's in the remnant. You understand?
That's true.
So what we have to do is, prepare ourselves and prepare our children, you understand, for our exit. You understand? Give them a better frame of mind, you understand? And they can't take this stuff that they learned here back home, period. You understand? So we have to try to put things in place and try to lead them and give them a better perspective. You understand? Right now, man, you know, it's crime. Crime is rampant all over the earth.
Definitely.
In the scriptures, it talks about righteousness will ring out all over the earth. So, and who the people of the righteousness is us.
Definitely.
We don't have no guns, no bombs, no nothing. You understand? All we have is, if we do right, we will be blessed by the Creator. The true and living God, King of the universe. He made everything. He put everything in place. Everything. Right now on TV, if you go to the History Channel, they'll tell you, you understand, they're trying to figure out how man was the origin of man. Then they tell you that it was a little teeny weeny Adam, you understand, that and all of a sudden, out of that little teeny weeny Adam, humans was established. But they can't confirm that, you understand. All of that is speculation, science, mythology, theory, you understand. I beg to differ in that matter because, see, if the Almighty, you understand, created the animals and all the animals on the earth, and then he came up with human people with concepts and ideas and everything like that. How come that still ain't happening? I say that the Almighty it was an intelligent being that put all of this stuff in place. You understand? Before the earth was in place, you understand what I'm saying? There was nothing. He took nothing and made something out of it. Hallelujah.
That's true. And we've come a long way. I mean, we've come a long way, but we haven't. But, you know, we're getting there. We're getting there. By the grace of the Most High, we're going to get there because our ultimate goal is to build our nation so that we can prepare for our exit strategy. But in the meantime, none of us are safe until all of us are knowledgeable. And none of us are knowledgeable until all of us care. So we've got to get to the point where we care enough to bring our children to the table and sit them down and explain to them the damage that is being done. Because if we don't, we ain't going to be none of us left. Because if it's too dangerous to walk out your house because you're afraid of your own people, there's a problem.
That is correct. You know, one thing that I'm trying to understand here, too, is, I mean, that I want to bring to the table here is that we have to set up things so that when our children are confronted with certain situations, they have some place to take their issue. Right now, they ain't got no place to take their issue. You understand? No agency set up where they can come or call be able to complain or to get some help. You understand? So we got to try to put these things in place. The police will stop these young kids, you understand, and in the middle of the street, a guy said on TV, you just be calm and do what they say to do and this and that and the other, and they go right to jail. You understand what I'm saying? And we don't have no agency to come and get them out of jail, you understand, for the least little thing. You understand? They got... in the penitentiary right now, they got 2 million black folks alone. So, nonviolent crimes. You understand what I'm saying? They've been picked up for a joint or a bag or whatever. You understand what I'm saying? Gotten 10 years, 10 years to 3 years, you understand, for those little crimes that was nonviolent, you understand, that was just a fine, actually, you understand what I'm saying? But they are in the penitentiary, you understand, and we didn't have, had we had something set up, man, we could have fought for them kids. You understand?
Yeah.
But most of them have no way to go. Parents didn't know where to go, didn't know what to do. You understand? And they went, they carted them kids right on off into the penitentiary. We got too many kids like that going to jail for nothing. You understand?
For nothing. Sure do. Sure do.
Huh?
When all they need is somebody when all they need is for somebody to just love them and say, you know, you don't have to live like this. So, you know, we got to do everything in our power because we are seeing our nation go down the toilet, and they're portraying us on the television as though we're animals and we don't know how to act, and they're tearing up the self-esteem of our nation as a whole. So we have a responsibility, and like I said, we're coming to Atlanta, and we invite all of you all that are down there that are a part of the status quo or a part of the programs that you're portraying on there to join us in the think tank. And we're setting our date for October 29th, 30th, 31st, and we're going to be there until the 2nd of November so that we can sit down with you. And we're going to try to do this in every city that we can to go to our cities and create programs for our children and start putting some things together so that our community can do it because we have disposable income within our community. We have millions and millions of dollars because we pay for it every day with gym shoe revenue and things that are going on. We need to start taking control over our children. We need to start praying for our children. We need to start talking to our children and interacting with our children because the television has become a weapon. It's not for entertainment. It's more of a weapon to try to show other people that we are uncivilized and we do not know how to act. So our job as the Nation of Yehuda and the Yehuda Project is to bring some consistency, to bring some solutions, and we don't have all the answers. We need everybody's help to come together, to come to the table so we can sit down and try to stop all of this madness. Because I'm telling you, we have a responsibility to ourselves, to our children that are coming, to be able to give them an opportunity to grow and flourish and grow into healthy individuals. And it's not measured on what you have or how you look. It has nothing to do with that, not a thing to do with that. I am so sick of our women looking animated. They look like animated characters, like they are cartoon characters. And black women are beautiful. They feel like I don't know who told them that they had to paste stuff on and glue stuff on to be beautiful. Everything about them is fake, and it's like take all of that stuff off. Young lady has had those eyelashes on for so long. She has pulled her own eyelashes out because she done glued the fake eyelashes on for so long. She don't even have eyelashes anymore, and it's like where did you all get this mentality that you have to glue stuff on in order to be beautiful?
Mm-hmm. Yep, this is just
who
sad.
Told you that?
You know, for years, the other nations wanted to look like our women. Now we want to look like them women.
Oh my goodness!
I was looking at the TV the other day, and I'm a TV buff, but I like to watch History Channel, Science Channels, you understand, and Discovery and things like that. You understand, because that broadens my understanding. But it's just I was in the news channel, and so I was watching the news, and it boggles my mind to see that all the hairdos that I seen on TV on the women, all of them look the
terrible.
Same. You understand? They
terrible.
All had this stringy hair, you understand, and they keep pushing it away from their face, you understand what I'm saying, out of their eyes,
mm-hmm.
You understand? It seems like that's a trend, eh? I don't know
what it is. It is. Everything they have on is artificial. And,
yep.
and you take an inventory, and if you think I'm not lying, everyone under the sound of my voice, because we have different area codes from all over the country, when you get off the phone today and you drive in your car, pay attention to the women that you see that are in your surroundings. 90% of them have more stuff on artificial than they do real. That is a clear indication that we are grooming a society of women that are insecure and ashamed of who they are because they need certain things to make them feel good. We've got to do something to help to better our nation because they're using these things. And guess where they get it from? Television. They get it from Beyonce and them and all of the ones. Guess what? When they go home, they take all that stuff off. They take off the eyelashes. All of that's for show business. And they take the costume off, and they go home, and they become normal, and we make it a part of our lives to the point where we can't function unless we have all that stuff on. And anytime you have to glue stuff on or glue stuff in to make you feel better, you have to take a look at why, because it's not normal. That's not normal.
That is correct. I think I said this before. The society that we live in, democracy that they're trying to put across all the earth is made up of mythological theory and artificial. Everything that we look at is always theory, mythological, and artificial. You understand? Got artificial grass that grows, you don't even have to water it. This is going against what the Almighty had already put in place. He put grass in there, you know, in its place, that water, if you water it, it grows. You know what I'm saying? You don't water it, it don't grow. But this grass that they got is artificial. You understand? It ain't even that artificial turf. It's supposed to be better than the turf, that the artificial turf, you understand, made of plastics and stuff. This grass, you understand, has longer roots than it has stem. It only grows certain height. You don't even have to use a lawnmower. Ooh, you understand? I'm telling you, man. You understand? They got artificial stuff that they put in our food. You understand? They got. Oh, man, this is just a terrible thing, man. All of this is artificial, man. And then they theorized on what the earth, how the earth was made, and they theorized on a whole lot of stuff, man. You understand? And then they bring up the mythological portions. So you understand? None of this stuff is real, and we have to get back and understand that none of this stuff is real. And we, once we start putting together our own garden and feeding off our own garden, you can taste the difference. Hallelujah.
Yes, you can. And I think that's a good point. And, you know, we have to make ourselves start feeling better about ourselves, because we've made the other nations rich because they have portrayed certain things on the television, and we have imitated those things. And as a result of that, people have gotten rich off of us, and they're laughing at us because you're beautiful anyway. You do not need all that stuff. That is not necessary. You are beautiful the way the Most High made you. And like you said, everybody is steady trying to look like us. They're getting the lip implants. They're getting the hip implants and the butt implants and all that stuff. And we are starting to look animated. We are not even looking real. So we have to start going back to our natural beauty. And I don't care what skin tone color you are, black is black, light is light. We come in all shades and colors, and we are beautiful people. But we have to feel beautiful from the inside, because if all you see is the negativity that they show, then you'll start thinking that you're not worthy anyway. And that is not the way that the Most High sees us. We are a special people unto himself. We are individual people that he chose for himself, and we are the people of the book. And we have to realize that he has separated us for himself, that he loved us, and that we are to consider ourselves to be a special group of people because he loved us. And he said, and this is what he said again in Deuteronomy, he said 14:2, he said, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord has chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." And then that is how he expects us to look at ourselves. And when he looks at us, he does not expect us to look like we are cartoon characters. That is not what he said to do. We are supposed to maintain ourselves with a certain amount of assurance and love that we are special people chosen above all the people on the face of the earth. And that's just real.
That is correct. You understand? We need to come... We need to try to do something about ourselves. We can control our... See, like I said, that we have the ability. We are at a certain point in this society where we can start doing something about our condition without having to go anywhere to any other people and ask them for a thing. You understand? We like you had mentioned, we have a disposable income, you understand, if it ain't nothing but $5 a month. You understand? We can put that in a pool and a pot and build off of that. Build anything that we want to have. You understand? You know, but we have to come to an agreement on what we want to have. You understand? If it's going to be... Dr. Claude Anderson, he said that in 1936, I think it was, you understand, we produce one half of 1% of the commodities in America. That was in 1936. In 2014, we produce one half of 1% of the commodity in America. So we have not moved not one iota in producing anything in this Americas. And we the ones, we only consumers. We don't produce nothing. We spend $1 trillion a year on consuming other people's stuff. We need to come out of that one. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I was just listening. Go ahead.
Oh no, I'm through. I just wanted to make sure that everybody understands that we don't produce nothing. You understand? We don't have one. I mean, we have certain businesses, but it's only one half of 1% of all the products in America. And believe it or not, you understand, we put out of all of those products in that we use today, 80% of them, that we had something to do with that. You understand? If we didn't invent it, you understand, we was there when it was invented and we worked on the project. But we don't own nothing.
Oh, okay. That is very true. That is very, very true. So, you know, right. as a state of black people, you know, we have to really make a conscious effort to try to change the way we see each other and change the way we act toward each other because, you know, most of our older people are scared of the young people. They're scared of them. They are scared of them. And that's a shame that our grandmothers and our grandfathers are scared of the young people. And then we see the stuff that we see on TV, and the women are fighting each other and kicking and screaming and stomping each other on television, and we wonder why we're in the condition that we're in. We are going to have to make a change. And at some point, all money isn't good money. And if it's going to cause you, we should have enough respect for ourselves to be able to say, you know, no, we don't want to carry on like that. But we know that that's too far-fetched because people only care about money. Nowadays, it's about, you know, if you pay me, I do whatever you want me to do. And that's that Willie Lynch syndrome. It's still working today. They just using it in the form of television. They using it in the form of television, and they're using it with dollars. They take certain groups of people, and they give them certain amount of income, and then they say, okay, this is what we want you to do on television. And you're doing it, but you don't realize the damage that is being done from a nation standpoint because our young children are watching that, and it's forming their minds. And then they turn around and put their criminal behavior on the news and say, see, this is how all black people act. This is why you can't trust them.
And they make money off it.
Yes,
they put
do.
Our actions and how they perceive us. No, it's not how they perceive us. They conditioned us to act, and then they make money off it by putting it on TV. They give us a percentage out of of our participation, but they make the bulk of the money. Same thing that happened during the time in the entertainment industry. They set up all of these agencies, you understand, RCA Records and all of those things, you understand, and they walked away with all the money, and you become bankrupt, you understand. Who was that? There was Jackie Wilson, James Brown, all of them people that walked away with, they produced millions and millions of records, and they walked away with no money, and the agency is rich now. Come on. When we go wake up, I'll tell you.
And you know what I saw? I saw today where they were actually trying to negotiate the college boys that are playing college football and basketball, that they build a union so that these young boys can get paid for the revenue that they're bringing into the colleges. And, of course, the colleges were completely against it. Oh, no, we give them scholarships to go to school, and we give them this and that and other. Yeah, but you're making millions of dollars off of these running up and down the basketball court or the football court. You're constantly drilling them and drooling them and grueling practices and what they can eat. And they're basically slaves to your institution because you pay for them to get a free education. And then you paying the coaches that coach these young men millions of dollars to coach these young men on these teams, and then you selling tickets for the people to come in and see these boys play, and the boys don't get no money off of it. It's the same thing that you just described with the music industry. And so now they're trying to change it where the college kids get a percentage of the tickets and stuff that they sell because it's their talent that's selling the tickets.
That is correct. You understand? You know, at first it started out, that they just wanted to be compensated in case they got injured, you understand, so that the rest of their, you know, so that that injury don't affect them all the rest of their lives. And also, you understand, that them guys is bound by the sports industry to participate in the sports. And they don't never get a chance to do no studying. They 40% of their participation is in the school, is in the sports, and nothing goes towards the education. So if they get hurt then they don't have nothing to fall back on because they didn't get no education. They was just there to play sports. Come on.
check this out. Here we go. Listen. Hold on 1 minute. I'm going to get this on here so we can make sure we get it together so we can actually hear them, because they were saying that the college guys should be able to get paid some money. And everybody was like, should they be paid or shouldn't they be paid? And we like, yeah, they should be paid. They're the ones bringing the money in. Why not?
I know that's right.
And nobody wants them to be paid. But you're using these young men as cattle, and again, as commodities to be able to bring money in. And you know, you can stay as long as you play good and you get a free education. When you stop playing good or you're worth anything, then they're going to send you home.
Look at Coach Patello. You understand?
And TV. So why not pay student athletes? On the left, Van Jones. On the right, Newt Gingrich. In the crossfire, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who says student athletes should be paid, and Christine Brennan, who says they shouldn't. Is it education or exploitation? Is it time to pay student athletes? Tonight on Crossfire.
Welcome to Crossfire. I am Van Jones on the left.
When you're talking about college football and basketball, they make so much money, and there are so many people making a living off those student athletes. It's absurd to pretend they're amateur sports.
Well, you know, however much money is getting made, the most valuable thing when you're a young person is an education. And if you start throwing contract dollars at these kids and you take their eyes off that ball, you're doing them a real disservice.
But at the same time, look how much money everybody around them is making.
Well, you know, I think there's a point to be made about that, but I think you know, you have young people They need to be focused on their future, not on how much money we're sticking in their pockets right now. And some people like to play the game for the love of the game. Let's not diminish that either. Anyway, listen, I'm glad to have some big names here who know a little bit more about this subject probably than me or you. In the crossfire tonight, we've got basketball legend and NBA Hall of Famer, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He disagrees with me. He says student-athletes should be paid. He also writes children's books. His most recent book is called Sasquatch in the Paint. Also here tonight is USA Today sports columnist Christine Brennan. She's on my side of this. She does not want us to be paying student-athletes. So welcome to Crossfire. Glad to have you both here.
Thank you.
Let me start with you. I'm just confused. You know, you were a great athlete in college, and you went on. You made a ton of money. Did you feel like that extra $100,000 you might have made as a student would have made a big difference in your life? What are you trying to fix here by saying that these students should be paid?
I'm trying to get it to the point where the what they call the student athlete, which is really a myth. We got to end that. We have to come to reality. I think a lot of this has to do with perception. So many people in America see college sports as an extension, a very nostalgic extension of high school sports,
right?
Where the quarterback and the cheerleader have a romance and they celebrate their victory over the rivals at a malt shop. It's not that. It's a $6 billion a year industry. Last year, CBS and TBS split up $1 billion just off of March Madness. There's so much money being made, and the people who are creating this wealth do not get to participate, and they don't get to graduate, and that's a big issue.
But I think those might be separate issues. What does it hurt, though? I mean, obviously, everybody wants more money. Everything's money, money, money nowadays. But did you have an experience when you were in college? Did you feel exploited? I mean, you were celebrated. You got one of the best coaches in the world. You got to travel around. Were you feeling somehow exploited at that point in your life?
I had at that point in my life. I that's all I wanted to do was play college basketball. But let's take an example. There was a player named Kyle Hendrick. He hurt his knee. He incurred a lot of expenses trying to get treated. And what happened? They rescinded his scholarship. He did not get to finish school. And his family was stuck with a bill, a five-figure bill, $10,000 or $20,000 that they had to pay.
Was he a classmate of yours?
No. This is more recent.
You know, this is the topic that, okay, now there we go. Now look at what I'm saying. You see what I'm saying? They just changed what they call a commodity. It changes from one commodity to the other, and people are, like he said, this is a billion-dollar industry, and the children are being exploited, and they're not getting paid. They're exploiting us on television. They're exploiting us everywhere. So we've got to stop it.
Yeah. See, one thing that I'm finding out, you understand, is that if we don't speak out on these things, you understand, they'll continuously to do that. You understand? Like you said, it's a billion-dollar industry. That's what they say. I tell you, it's a trillion-dollar industry, man, because, you understand, Coach Patello, the guy that had sex with his students, made millions of dollars, you understand? They erected a statue and called him the greatest coach. You understand what I'm saying? But without the kids, he ain't nothing. He ain't no coach.
That's right.
Understand what I'm saying? The thing that I'm trying to say here is that why can't that money be evenly distributed? You understand? That little boy that hurt his knee, you understand, he didn't even graduate, you understand, because they occupied all of his time on the football or basketball court, you understand, where he could not go and get his academic classes, you understand what I'm saying? So when he hurt his knee, you understand what I'm saying, he lost his scholarship. In turn, he got kicked out of school or lost his opportunity to participate academically, you understand? So come on, man. You understand, that money can easily be distributed, you understand, just like anything else, you understand. They want to take advantage of anybody, it's black or white at this point, you understand. They take advantage of anything. It's about money, you understand. And this guy, And see, that guy right there, that announcer, he's talking about why everything got to be about money. You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, it's why everything got to be about money, but it's all right when they wasn't talking about it. It's all right for them to get that money when they wasn't talking about it. But now, you know what I'm saying, that they talk about it, hey, why everything got to be about money? Come on, man.
You know what? I would have told him, you're getting paid, aren't you? You're not
that
getting
up here correct.
For free. So that is the whole thing, and that is my point. Like I said, whether it be basketball, whether it be football, whether it be college ball or NBA or NFL, or whether it be Love and Hip Hop, or whether it is Housewives, Basketball Wives of Atlanta, or whatever it is, they are exploiting us, and they're using money to do it. And that by us accepting those positions and acting out those scripts, we are influencing the behavior of our children, and we are influencing the behavior of our young people. So every time you see them getting locked up because they're fighting, and every time you see them getting in trouble because of their profanity out of their mouth, and every time you see a mother slapping her son or daughter in the mouth because she used the B word or she used the MF word, you need to look at yourself because you have a responsibility and you're culpable in it because this is what you have chosen to portray to our children over the networks and over the radio and over all this stuff. So we have a responsibility. All we're saying is we have a responsibility to our own nation, to our young people, to clean our act up because we don't have to give them an excuse anymore. And we can stop this, and we have to stop this. So it just goes to show you that they have been making billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars against over our young kids and saying, we gave you a free education. As long as you can produce, you can stay in class. But the moment you hurt yourself, you got to go back home and your family's responsible for the bill. That is slavery.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you, Lord have mercy. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and they gave this kid a scholarship to come play at that school. You understand what I'm saying? And now that he got hurt, they cut him loose. Woo. Oh, Lord have mercy.
They kicked him out.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
And his parents had to pay the bills. So, you know, all this stuff, this glamorous, like I said, it's all rotten. It's all got a negative connotation behind it. And we've got to see it for what it is because a lot of people go into it blind, as it's their only opportunity out of the ghetto, or it's their only opportunity into the big leagues, or this is my once in a lifetime chance. Yeah, but look at what you're giving up. Look at what it's gonna cost you, because this stuff is forever.
That is correct.
TV is forever.
That is correct. You understand? And you are absolutely right, man. You understand? Because they play that again next year and make more money. They play that stuff over and over again and make money. It's just ridiculous. I tell you, man, you know, like we rush into the future to get back to the past. We don't know that we got to get back to the past. We just see the future as being something, you understand, to look forward to, you understand? But we're going to have to get back to the past at some point because the past is what got us to the future. You understand? And certain things that was taken out of the past, you understand, we don't do no more. We just depend on the growth of the future. You understand? And we need
to really
take a look at what we're doing here. You understand what I'm saying? And slowly but surely, you understand, we're being diminished as a nation. You understand?
Yes. Yes.
You know, we're not no longer looked upon as a peoples, you understand, we are a melting pot. This nation
they
right here,
like
I mean, this,
so
this society, I won't call it a nation because there's no way that you can be a nation. You got all kinds of different peoples mixed in there. You understand? That's not a nation. A nation is one peoples that has that particular nation, I mean, is representative by a certain nationality of peoples. You understand? Not everybody. This is not a nation here. That's what they're trying to build. They're trying to make build a nation within a nation. You understand? Amongst the nations, they're trying to they eliminate all the black folks and make them
They call it ethnic cleansing.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. You understand what I'm saying?
And guess what? We are the biggest joke around the world to all of the other nations because we are in one of the richest nations in the world, and we are one of the poorest people and considered to be one of the lowest class people that exist, and we do the damage to our own selves. We create our own monsters, and then we look and we wonder why we are looked on the way we are. We have got to stop, and we've got to take responsibility for our own actions because we are. If we don't, Willie Lynch was right. I mean, if anybody who has not heard of this, pull it up, the Willie Lynch papers, because he was from a, he was a foreigner that came over here and taught the slave owners how to make sure that they stayed superior over us as a race of people, and it basically was to punk us out and to take the strongest and break them down so that the weak would be afraid to speak up. And this is exactly what's happening right now. And instead of a whip, they're using money. And instead of slavery or instead of open slavery, they're using a self-proclaimed slavery to be able to do it. And we are selling ourselves out for a dollar. And we wonder why our children are in the condition that we're in today. We have got to start. We've got to stop and we've got to do something. We've got to get to our leaders in the community. If it means that they're the rap artists and the movie stars or the television stars, and because we cried out to the pastors and they didn't want to come because they taking the money too. Everybody is using the money to corrupt the nation, and everybody's saying, well, if it don't affect my family, I don't have anything to do with it. But anytime the old people are afraid of the young people, we've got a serious problem.
Yep. You know, Malcolm X said this a long time ago. He said that the powers that be invited us for coffee, and some of us could not turn down the coffee.
Nope. And we drank the Kool-Aid, and now we look like them. We our women look animated. Our men are turning effeminate. They're acting like women. Our children are corrupt. And Most High is looking at us like, okay, this ain't going to work because we are his chosen people. You know, and we have to make sure that our people understand that we are separate. And I'm going to read it again. He said, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord has chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. That's Deuteronomy 14:2. We need to understand that our responsibility is to maintain our integrity, is to maintain our righteousness, and we have sold ourselves out to do anything we can so we make sure our family can have the American dream, and it's full of poison. But all we're saying today is, from a nation standpoint, we have got to make an effort to change our ways. We're doing our think tank in Atlanta. We're inviting you all to come. If you have any questions, you can please reach us at www.noymonarch.us. It's N-O-Y, the word monarch, .us. That is our website. Please go online, get our phone number, call us. We are setting things up. We will have a link that you can go on the website in about 3 weeks, and you'll be able to have information. You'll be able to contact people because this is a think tank, and it's just going to be grassroots where we're right there on the ground, bringing people together, sitting for 3 days, discussing the conditions and coming up with a solution. And we're planning on going to every city that will allow us to come to do this sort of thing in, because we have got to come to some serious solutions, because if not, we're not going to exist anymore.
You said a mouthful when you said we ain't going to exist anymore if we don't do nothing about our condition. And we're the only people that can. Can't nobody see? We put ourselves in their hands. We put ourselves in their hands all this long time, and they used us, man. They used us up. They used us to the point now that we don't have no alternative but to do something for ourselves. You understand? We know that. See, we can do this because we are the people that built this place from the outhouse to the White House. You understand? And so we need to take those same skills and start doing something for ourselves. You understand? Start, and we don't have to be haters. We can just be doing, we can be lovers of our own nation, trying to build our own nation. You understand what I'm saying? We just got to love one another, you understand, enough to do all we possibly can and stop waiting for somebody else to do something for us. You wait until they start cutting off these welfare checks and these food stamps, you understand, Social Security. Boy, if, you, if we wait until then, man, we're going to starve to death, man.
Oh, yeah. Government rich, and we don't even realize it. And on that note, we are, Brother Donia, it's 5:30, 5:30. We have a board meeting at 6:30. I want to let all of the heads of the departments in the Nation of Yehuda to know that our meeting starts at 6:30. We do expect everyone to be there. We need to, and we're going to introduce to you our new director that we have. If you are listening under the sound of my voice and you would like to participate from whatever state you're in, please email us at the Yehuda Project. Yehuda is spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H at Gmail, the Yehuda Project at gmail.com, and let us know that you're interested, and we will get in contact with you. And we want to make sure that we have come across today as positive as we can, and so that we can go ahead and continue this movement to help our own nation, because nobody can help us but us. Brother Donia, do you have any last parting words?
No, I just want to let everybody know that I love each and every one of you, and there's nothing that you can do about it, and I'm sticking to that. Hallelujah.
All right, all right. We have a think tank coming up in October the 29th through November the 2nd. We will be in Atlanta, Georgia. We are putting this information together right now so that we can bring some positiveness and get our brothers and sisters to help us from Atlanta. And then from there, we're going to be moving to Pittsburgh. And then from there, we're going to be moving to New York. So we're going to be making our tour around. And if you would like to be a part of the tour to travel with us so that we can bring this positiveness to our people as a whole, then we invite you to be there. We don't care what state you are or where you're from. You know, if you're about making sure our nation knows that we are important to the Most High, we would like to have you with us. And on that note, we say shalom, shalom to everybody. And we'll see you next week, same time, same place. We have some serious stuff we're going to talk about next week, so we invite you to invite others to be here with us. We'll see you next week, everybody. Shalom, shalom. Bye-bye.
Shalom, shalom.
Keep him strong, moving in the right direction, living just. try. Wow. New York, just like I pictured it. Skyscrapers and everything.
Hey, brother. Hey, come here, Slick. Hey,
huh?
you look hip, man. Hey, you want to make yourself $5, man?
Yeah, brother.
Hey, look here. Run this front speed for me right quick, okay? Run this front speed for me.
What? Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no.
A jury of your peers having found you guilty, 10 years.
What?
Come on, get in that cell, nigga.
God, no.
His hair is long, his feet are hard and thrifty.
I don't think there's any question we've come a long ways, and I just think, you know, in personal terms, my dad couldn't be sitting here on a major network talking about the news, 50 years ago. Or you think back 100 years before that Emancipation Proclamation, you understand how far we've come as a nation. But on some very basic levels, there's also been just outstanding improvement. Again, here in Washington, you think of President Obama 50 years ago. That was beyond, I mean, nobody would have said, oh, yeah, the president could be a black man. Not possible. You think of Secretary Condoleezza Rice as the face of the of America to the world, Colin Powell. You think of Senator Scott, from South Carolina, a black senator, or you think of, goodness gracious, Thurgood Marshall on the court, Clarence Thomas, that we have someone on the Supreme Court. Again, tremendous change. But I think that if you look at the realities of today, you've got to talk about things like family breakdown. You've got to talk about the fact that 70% of black children today born in wedlock. I think Dr. King would cry. You've got to talk about the fact that this is a horrific dropout rate in the country. Failure of urban schools, Chris. I think that's the civil rights challenge of this generation. And the culture, I was just listening to your interview with Governor Fallon. You think about the culture for a second. You think about people, Jay-Z and his latest album, hit album. He's using the N-word repeatedly. You think, what is going on here? Snoop Dogg, it's pornographic. And it invites people to think authentic blackness is you got to be hip-hop, you got to be hard, education, not value. To me, this is the tragedy of our day.
David?
Just enough, just enough for the system.
All right, you guys. This is Yaina Israel saying thank you so much for another edition of the Yehuda Project. We have a responsibility. We have a job to do. and it's our responsibility to make sure that our nation is okay. We'll see you next week, same time, same place. Shalom, shalom, everybody, and thank you again. Bye-bye.